out your bed.
Good morning, good morning.
Don't be asleep, sheep.
Good morning, good morning.
Hey, I'm Art.
And I'm Connie, and this is the Get Up Team podcast. And today's topic is surprising secrets to success. So,
surprising secrets. I like surprises. Yeah,
so today we're going to talk about this article that's like the surprising secrets. And I read it and I thought, oh, okay, that's not what you expect. It was kind of cool. You ready?
Yeah, and thank everybody for joining us. We are so happy to have you here. Now you will get the secrets. You will get all the surprises.
We're launching off of the year with like how to like manifest your ideas and your dreams, and now working out the secrets to success.
Let's go.
Okay, so the first thing it says is root for your rivals. And it says, compare yourself to friends or colleagues who are moving forward, or you think got a promotion where you didn't get one, or someone's in a, you know, happy relationship and you're not in one. But actually it says that you should like rejoice in their successes, and that will actually like benefit you as well. So what do you think about that?
I think there's something to be said for friendly competition, right? But there's also cutthroat competition out there, and so it depends on the rival that I'm dealing with. I'm not gonna root for the cutthroat rival or the cutthroat competition, nor do they have any love for me in that same capacity. So fuck them is what I say on that. But if it's friendly competition, like, you know, I can, like, it's my rival, but it's like also like somebody and be like, good job, man, way to go. I tried to get you, but I couldn't get you. But, you know, it depends on the nature of the relationship with the rival, I think, for me.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like, I guess sometimes people like, I don't know, you know, where they have friends and their friend is doing really well. And then they like, I don't, they try and be like minimizing their successes or something like that. You know, have you ever seen where people do that? Where they like try and make it seem like, well, that's not a big deal. Like,
like you succeed. Yeah, that's just called being a hater.
Succeeds, and then they just kind of like, are like not happy for people, you know?
Yeah, so it's called being like a hater, but that's not usually your rival. Like if you got a friend in your clique, and a friend is like, becoming some idea that you didn't invest in early becomes a $1 billion idea, and you shading them and being like, you know, well, I know who he talked to about it. It wasn't all his idea. And I remember when he used to talk to me about it, and he probably stole some stuff from me, but didn't give me no credit. Like, that's a hater. But a rival is somebody that is intentionally coming at you and your product and your brand, trying to beat you down and not have you be successful.
Yeah, I think that's a rival. The way they're phrasing it is more like just people that you work, you know, colleagues that you work with, or people that you might be vying for a promotion, and that person wants a promotion, but they get the promotion, and then you're kind of bitter that they got a promotion over you. So that kind of, where it's not like they're like actively like putting you down. But, you know, people are just vying for, like, the same positions as you get higher up. And so I think it's, like, saying that we're, like, basically not being a hater and being, like,
that's why I started my shit. I said I got to know what my rival is. If it's some friendly competition, that's one type of rival. And if it's cutthroat, that's a different type of rival. I would never champion another company coming from my company.
Yeah, or maybe it's like a situation where like you're putting out a record and your friend is putting out a record, or I'm putting out a movie and my friend's putting out a movie, and my movie gets panned in the box office or whatever, but my friend's movie is like doing really well. So, you know, that kind of thing where it's like you're not directly competing, but you know, you have like two films out at a festival and you're like wanting your film to do well.
That's the word they chose to use, and I'm like, if you're gonna use that word,
like where you are in a, you know, you enter some writing competition and you also have friends that are submitting to the same competition. So it's not like you're like, you know, actively like, but it's like, you know, you're applying for the same role or the same awards or whatever. And like, they may have gotten it where you didn't. And so it's like saying like, rejoice in everybody's like, what everybody wins, right? So in other right. people's That's successes. Why I, so rejoicing in other people's successes and not being like,
I agree with that. If you have a coworker and you got they got the part that you wanted, the rival, the definition says objective competition for superiority, you know? So yeah. that person is superior to you for whatever reason on a majority rules type of deal, that person won. That's fine. That's what I said at the beginning. Sure, I would pat that person on the back and say, good job, way to go. I tried to get you, but it didn't work out. So congratulations to you. But first of all, I'm coming at you hard and being... And then I'm going to also say to you, you know, I wanted to beat you down, but congratulations. But there are others that are rivals that, no, they don't deserve any type of pat on the back because they would cut your throat if they could cut your throat. And so that's all I mean. But in this women's magazine article, I will go with the one that's like, look. And then they say, even if you don't really mean it, tell them
what?
You want them well. What?
Oh, they're talking about,
wait,
where did you,
even,
oh, you just, you know what they mean.
That's some bullshit. That's that fake shit I hate. You know, I'm around them motherfuckers all the time, and that's that fake shit. They're so fucking, and I can feel it. I love Masaki. I got a text some weeks ago from a very big time engineer, worked multi-Grammys, and in the text he says, great track, but I can't work on it right now because I'm swamped. Maybe down the road I can do something. And Masaki, you know, he's just like, that is a very professional response to you. Like, he's not giving no credit that the track was great. He's just saying that the dude said that shit to be nice. He's just saying, and I said, there's an exclamation after great. He didn't have to put an exclamation after it. That is an emphatic great. He says, I think it is just a professional response. It's like, Masaki, you're fucking with me. I know you are. And he starts to smile. I'm like, you just fucking with me. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that fake shit. I hate that shit. Tell them even if you don't mean it. Anyway, I'll root for my rival just because I'm gonna be kind about the competition itself. It's like, yo, you legit beat me. Okay, cool. Cool. You know? Cool. It's like Dak Prescott last week said it was okay for fans to throw garbage at the fucking refs. Because the refs were too late with getting that last second snap, and the fans threw shit at him, and he was like, "Oh yeah, good thing." It's like, no, don't co-sign that. He got fined like $25,000 for it, but you know, you don't want to be a hater, man. That's just not a good look.
No, don't storm the Capitol. Oh.
Don't storm the Capitol. Well, those were a lot of haters. Out of the 2,000, though, it was only like 60 haters, true haters.
Right, but yeah, that's not a good look.
All right, well, what's next?
Okay, the next thing is leave a little space in your day. So it says you might feel like your schedule is packed and you can't squeeze in anything else, but we need to renew our energy. And so we need a little bit of time for ourselves so that we can rejuvenate and re-energize ourselves, which I think that makes sense, right? Take a deep breath, close your eyes, and focus on relaxing for 3 minutes. And this can like create some sense of peace and space in your hectic day.
I'm just like, I'm first of all, I'm letting you go through your thing. I'm waiting for that beat. And then I'm like, now I'm thinking of myself, what do I want to say about this? The whole process.
Okay, this is good.
I would say that the meditation like thing is this. Yeah, the meditation thing is something we talked about already. And they keep going back to this every time in these articles about
meditation. Every article says that you just need a moment for yourself. You need a moment to breathe. You need a moment to reflect. You need a moment to like visualize calmness in your world, and then also like thinking about what the next step is. So yeah, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, right. It just goes back to me. It's just another form of taking time to meditate and just do that whole deal. I told you, I do that all day. I'm always thinking about what I'm going to do next and how it's going to go down. I told you, when I get quiet to myself, I'm still thinking. I've tried different techniques. Right now, before I do my little exercise in the morning, I stretch and I breathe. Yeah, I stretch and I breathe in the morning now.
And you do your sit-ups and your push-ups.
Yeah, I do that. And so there's a whole stretching before it. It's about 8 to 10 minutes of that where I'm breathing in and breathing out, downward facing dog, all that, and then stretching all the way to the sky and breathing on each one of those.
Really? That's good. Yeah. Is it changing your life, your day, a little bit?
I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. I don't know that it's because I said I would do it. It's not because of anything that's being so positively shown at this point. And it's not even anything that's internally flipping anything, you know, not yet. I mean, I'll know by June.
It may not be something that you're aware of. It might just be something like over time that it has some effect. And not like, oh, I did it once. Because I think that's the thing. They say, like, it's not just doing it once, but it's like having, like, a ritual or a habit that you do on a regular basis. So I think that's cool. I should do that, too. Requires some time and pre-planning and some dedication.
Yeah. Monday through Friday, that's my ski. So I guess it's okay. Leave a little space. I think it's good.
Yeah. Like I do that. There's some things like I like to do. I like when I'm washing the dishes, it's just like a moment of like calm. Like I'm just washing dishes. I don't have to think about anything. And it's kind of satisfying because like you could just see like instant gratification, right? Like it's dirty. Then you soap it up, which I like all those bubbles. I love that. And you rinse it off. It's clean. You're like, moving that from dirty to clean. And then you're like, I feel like I accomplished something. Like it's a little accomplishment. Okay, now I can go on to tackle bigger things.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like making the bed in the morning. Like it's like the break between like I'm sleeping and now I'm ready to go. Like I fix the bed and then it's like done. Okay, go time. Anyways, then I jump into whatever else. But I do think I'll try breathing in the middle of the day. See how it goes. I try to do that. Like I try to visualize some calming thing. I try to visualize like bad energy going out and good energy coming in and like do that for like a minute. But it says 3 minutes, so I can do that. I'll time it.
I mean, I said, I'm doing the breathing stuff every morning for at least 8 minutes. So I don't know. We'll see.
8 minutes is a long time.
It is.
It is a long time. Like, especially you're like breathing. Then you're thinking, maybe I should be doing something else. But no, get back to breathing. That's good.
I do different stretches. So I do all of them, holding them for certain types and just keep them going up. And then I'll do the ones where I'm just going down. And then I'll do the ones where I'm this way and then that way. And then this way and then that way. And then this way again and then that way again. And then the downward facing dog and upward facing. And then I do the push-ups.
Oh, see, you're going to be like this, like, zen person.
We'll see. We'll see. You can't deny the results. I'm not a person of faith.
Being able to flow, you'll be doing Tai Chi by the end of the year.
We'll see. I don't fake the funk, though. If it is actually helpful and if it's outwardly shows anything, I'll admit to it. If not, I'll say, y'all crazy. I'll say I'll do either way. By December, we'll know. By June, we'll know something. By December, we'll really know. So I'm saying, like, leave a little space, meditate, do all that shit. If it helps you, definitely do it.
Do all that stuff, yeah. All right, so the next thing says, honor your tears. So it says that we often refuse to cry or weep because we think it's a sign of weakness. But this says that we shouldn't be afraid to, like, show our emotions. If there's something that is giving us sadness or anguish or anything like that, then it's okay to like let that out. But it says tears can be healthy and healing. So,
what do you think about that?
Yeah, but it's interesting because it says that tears are a way for the body to release stress, sadness, grief, anxiety. So allowing yourself to feel those things and to cry and let it out kind of just is healthy. And it also, it releases all that stuff. And so I kind of think like if you're releasing all this anxiety and unhealthy stuff, like that just seems good all around. I mean, I don't know if you have to cry to do it, but if that leads to that, that seems like a good thing. I don't know. I don't really cry that much, but.
I think that it's good to feel, and I think it's good to cry when it comes out just naturally. It can't be the first response to everything that's negative happening to you. It can't be your first thing is to sob in your hands and cry in the corner. But I have sobbed in my hands and cried before, but it's just like a culmination of feelings that have to get out. And I like that. It feels really cleansing when I let it all build up. And I have to let it go, or when something is just so overwhelming. When my sister got her diagnosis and I was talking to my mom about it, for some reason I started crying, but I think I was crying because I felt guilty that I didn't have it, because I live such a very different, well, not now, but I've always lived a very party style lifestyle, and just the things that I've done to my body and things that I've experimented with and the way that my lifestyle is, I was like, I should be the one that has it. She shouldn't be having it. Like, she doesn't do anything wrong. She's just a nice lady, Christian lady that doesn't do nothing. So I felt like an overwhelming sense of sadness. And so I cried to my mom. And if you can't cry to your mom, you know, what the fuck? So I let that out. And I know it was a lot of other pressures on me that probably came out in that same moment. And just had to come out. So I got a feeling after that, it was like, fuck it, I did it, I cried, you know. But I usually won't cry too hard unless I really, really have in front of somebody. I won't cry in front of somebody unless I really have a connection with them, and then you'll see it. But other than that, I'll just do it by myself, and nobody will ever know, you know what I'm saying? But I think you have to do it sometimes, especially if you're a hustler and you're trying to do some amazing shit in the world. You're going to have so many problems and pressures and, you know, and even if you're not, even if just the family life, I can't imagine having two jobs and two kids or three kids and financial issues and marriage issues and job issues and people coming at you left and right, bill collectors. You know, there's heavy shit in the world that people could cry about all the time. And I think you just let it out sometimes, but also have a certain shield to you as well. You don't want people to always see you crying. Oh, you crying again? Look at you crying. What are you crying for? You know what I mean? Like, it's like after a while, if that's your only mechanism, it's not a good look, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense where you can't cry all the time. But I guess it seems like, some of the times you just feel like, whew, the world is heavy. I'm not really like, I think there's certain things like with my family that makes me feel super emotional, but sometimes dealing with life, it's like, I don't know.
We've seen tears on each other, but nobody would ever think that. Nobody would ever think that about us, but we've seen tears on each other, and I wasn't ashamed of it in front of you or nothing. I don't think I was giving you a hard time.
I don't think so.
We're cool enough like that.
So the next thing is, the last thing, it says, let answers come to you, which is kind of interesting because like sometimes we're like, oh, I need to figure out an answer. I got to ask all these questions, or I need the answer. But then it says here, like sometimes when you let things go, like your brain just works on things or something will come up and you'll just go, oh yeah, that's the answer. And I think that happens a lot. Sometimes you just got to let things go and like wait for the answer to come to you and not pressure yourself to find the answer or to have the answer. And I think I used to like think about that, like, oh, what am I going to do with my life? How am I going to get there? What's the answer? And then at some point I realized like, that you can't just come up with the answer. I mean, you could kind of have a plan, but the plan doesn't always work out the way you think it's going to work out. And sometimes other things happen or other doors open up, and it's a good thing, you know? And I think that's kind of what I realized. Like sometimes like doors just open for you, or things just come to you, or or you have this, like, you know, once you let something go, then you have a moment of like, oh, okay, clarity. Like, that makes sense to me. So.
Yeah, that's a very difficult thing to learn. It's something that's a learned skill. I don't even know how quite to teach it to people because I can't feel it sometimes. But when I do know that when I'm on that vibe, it's amazing how things just kind of unfold in this kind of interesting way. And it's a mix of you being proactive in things. Like, you're still being proactive, but you're not expecting anything specific out of the proactive things that you're doing. You're doing what's coming to you when you can in the moment of action in that moment, but you still don't know how that's going to play out to get you to the destination. But when you move in that energy, and it's a very weird place to be, because there's no certainty in it, it still is this thing that moves you towards the end goal. And sometimes I am so stuck in that thing where it's like, I thought I had the answer. I thought I had it friggin' right. I did A, B, and C to get to D, and now I'm back to A, or I don't have no alphabet at all. I gotta start all the fuck over. What the hell's going on? And it's like, no, that's part of it. Stay in that energy, because you're still actively seeking. You're actively moving. But these results that you have implanted in your mind are not the results that are for you. They're not at for that time. But you move in that energy, you're still moving forward. And it's a very weird energy. But if you do it properly, it does come to you. It's the weirdest thing. You're like, and then you look back, like we've talked about this before. Then you look back and you're like, oh, that's why that had to happen and this had to happen. And that's why I'm here now. But hindsight is always 20/20 in that thing. But when you're in it, you're like, it's all going to hell. It's all fucked. It's fucked. I know it's like, oh, I tried everything.
Yeah. No, sometimes I'm doing something and I'm like, why did I take this job? Like, why am I doing this? Why am I spending so much time doing this? And then you think like, wow, this is a waste of time. But then at some point in the future, you look back and you're like, oh, it's good thing I did that then, because now I'm using that. Whatever I learned there, I'm using now. I didn't know I needed it, or I didn't know how it was going to help me. But now I have that experience, and it's like, so it's kind of my
universe is like gearing you up for the moments, and we want it like this.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like all of your experiences add up to something.
You have to believe in that.
Yeah, and like, you know, when I was like starting out, I was like, oh, I got to get the right job. I got to do the right thing. I got to be on the right path. And I still kind of think like it's good to like have that, like people that knew what they wanted in their 20s or like wherever they're at. And I didn't really know. So I kind of meandered around. But then now I'm kind of like, okay, well, all that stuff kind of got me here. Now I'm going to go there. So, yeah. And I have people that work for me that are like, oh, I don't know what I want to do. I'm like, hey, so what do you want to do? Like, I want to help you get where you want to go in your career. Like, I want to help you achieve your dreams. So if you are wanting to do something, or we can help you get the experience to get there, like, I want to help you do that, you know? And it's kind of interesting to me how like there's people that are like, oh, I don't know. And then they're kind of waiting for me to give them tasks or give them opportunities to kind of move them where they need to go. And I'm like, yeah, I can do that. Like, I have lots of things to like assign to you, but I also want you to do things that are, because I think people will do a better job where if they see what they're doing affects their lives, right? Or helps them achieve what they want to achieve in their life, that they're more, you know, because then it's helping them. They can see how it, like, that they can connect dots, right? They can see how this will affect them. And so I try to connect that for them. But sometimes people are just like, they just don't know. They're like, they don't know what they want to do. They have no idea. And so I'm like, well, okay, I can't really help you then. So I just have to assign you tasks. But then I kind of see them doing the tasks and I'm like, you don't look that happy. So like, I don't really want you to keep doing that task. I'd rather assign somebody who's like, yeah, this is like so interesting to me. And they just do a better job, you know? And so, but you know, you can't force people to know what they want.
Depends on your age, you're not going to know everything right away. If you're 25, 26, and you're coming out of college, you're trying to still find your way sometimes. And just take those opportunities when you're in these situations with someone that's kind of trying to help you learn from the mistakes that they made, and they're mentoring you because they've been in the game a little bit longer. Take it as that the people are trying to motivate you because they've been in the place that you've been. Like, you've been in places where you could have capitalized more if you knew then what you know now, and you're imparting that on these people.
Or I knew what I wanted, had more direction, or
sometimes somebody like you was in your life. Yeah. So that's what they get. They don't need to know everything by 25, 26, but it's a good thing to know. It's a good thing to know, but you don't need to. You just need to have pride in your work. Like seriously, if you need me to delegate a task to you, then you as a person that's going to be successful one day should do that task to the tens because of the pride that you have in the work itself. I don't care if I'm asked to mop a floor or sweep a floor, I'm going to do it. So I want to be proud of that sweeping moment and that mopping moment. My parents had their anniversary party for their 50th. Supposedly it was because, you know, my dad's going through his health things and my mom wanted to have it before the 50th. So it was really their 48th, but it was their 50th. But we had to clean up after that shit. We had to clean up after everybody went home, after everybody got their little party favors. It's just shit everywhere. Chairs to stack and floors to sweep. But do you know, like, when it comes down to do it, I'm like suited and booted. I'm trying to put the chairs in the right order and neatly stacked against the wall. I'm sweeping every single bit of paper that I see. I'm running the wet mop real quick over it. I'm running the dry mop and I'm looking for no streaks. That's what I'm doing at the end, because my job is to help clean up with some pride. It's not a fun job. It's not a job that everybody wants to do. It's not the job, but when you get delegated to do it, which was from my mom, so I better do it, and I better do it right. She's the delegator. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Now I get pride in what I'm supposed to do that night. My job that night is to make sure this rec hall looks ready for the next group coming in there. That's the same thing with your people. They look like they having a shitty time doing the job you delegated to them. That's going to be a stumbling block for them in the future, because anything you're asked to do, especially when you're getting paid for it, do it to the top of your abilities and pride in yourself and what you're doing. You know, I don't like that shit when people, first of all, don't know what they want to do, and then you give them something to do and you're giving them money for it. They do it like to the sevens and the sixes instead of the tens. Fuck out of here. That's goofy shit. But let the answers come to you. Yes, it is a very, very smart piece of advice, but it's very hard to feel it. It's very hard to, it's a learned thing. You have to really listen and understand how that energy works with you individually. It is not something you're going to learn overnight to let the answers come to you, because we want to have so much control. The more ambitious you are, the more of a control freak you can tend to be. So, you know, you want shit, right? This is what I did it for. Why is it not working? What the fuck? I'm snapping my fingers. It's not working. It's like, because it's still not ready. You still got other shit to go through. You got to finish the path. The universe's path is not yours.
Oh, yeah.
Weird. And you just got to love on it.
There's things that are on my plate, my to-do list of, like, personal achievements. And I'm like, I got to get that done. And I just can't do it. And I got to just put it aside, because Because sometimes it's like, oh, I got to finish that, like a script. It's been in my mind to work on this script for this last summer. And I was not opening it. And I was like, but it was just because I wasn't ready to work on it or whatever it was. And finally, like, I'm like, okay, I got what I need to do. I'm going to work on it. And it's like, boom, boom, boom. You know, like in your mind, you have like, it's kind of solidified. And you're like, okay, I got to get this. Then you get to the point where I'm like, I have to work on this. And then you get it done. But there was a moment where I was like, I want to get this thing done. But there was all this other stuff, I don't know, that I needed to get done first to get to that.
When you actually are open to it, everything that you're doing happens because it's supposed to happen. I just did that with this song that I'm working on. I had this three tracks for the last 3-4 weeks. I've had 3 months to kind of do it just myself. I'm assigning it to my producers and shit, but I can do it myself as well. I still can produce the song, but I'm just not. It's just those three sounds sitting there, and I'm just listening to everybody else's version of it. I'm like giving notes, and then I'm just like, you know, this is actually a song that I already did well in the 90s that I'm redoing myself. And I'm like, just open it up and do it, Art. You did it once before. Just spice it up. And finally, last night, I opened up those same three sounds, and I'm like, and Masaki's out of town. And I'm like, oh, I got to do all my engineering myself. And I'm just in that whole funk. But I say I'm going to open it. Like you said, now, for some reason, it's open now. I look at 3 hours of YouTube before I even go back to the open track. I just look at YouTube for 3 hours. Then I go to the track and I'm like, okay. And then finally, you can just feel it. Like those words probably start popping out your head and through your fingers. And I'm just going there and I'm like, oh, it, I don't even know how to explain it. It's almost like magic. It's almost
it's like magic. It's like magic, for sure.
Yeah. And so then I'm at the end of the night, I'm like, oh, yeah. I can't wait till Masaki gets back. I'm gonna be like, fix all this cool shit up because this is it. It's magic. I don't know how to describe magic. It, but if you're in it,
you're in it. Yeah. It's just like these scripts. Like I was like, I mean, I have like versions and versions. And finally I was like, you know, I'm just going to take all those versions and do like 3 episodes. Like there's enough material there for like 3 or 4 episodes. And like, and so I just kind of opened up. Finally, I was like, it's these files because there are hundreds of files. And I was trying to find this version and this version. And I was like, how am I going to go through all these? And then finally, I was like, no, you know what? It's these files. Like, it just, I knew, like, which files to pull from. Like, because I was like, you know what? It was this time period. Anyways, because I don't.
I think our subconscious is doing stuff when we just let it be, let it go, and it's doing stuff, and then it just.
Yeah, it's these files. I'm going to start with this, and then I'm going to lead into this, and da-da-da. Now I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, what's missing? And there was, like, this script, and I read the whole thing, and I was like, man, this whole section does not belong in this script. And then I took that out, and I'm like, oh, now it actually kind of makes sense. And I think, like, there was a period where I was holding on to this, like, flashback. Like, this flashback needed to be there. When I read it, I was like, why is that flashback there? Take that out. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
And it makes so much sense. Yeah, you could have been done that, but it wasn't feeling that way until this. So you let that whole answer come to you, and then it was the easiest answer in the world at that moment.
And now it's moving, and now I've got it all organized. Like, okay, there's these 3 things, and now I just got to kind of work some things out. But yeah,
there you go. It looks like we're getting the hang of it. It takes a long time. Trust me, people. Don't think it's gonna come easy. This is one of the harder things to do. Let the answers come to you. One of the harder things you're gonna learn to do as a person that has a pulse on ambition and trying to do something that's extraordinary. The answers are not going to always just be right there, like 2 + 2 = 4. It comes in different ways.
It just comes, yeah. And then at some point you're like, oh, that's what I want to do. That's what I need to do. Oh, this is who I should talk to, or whatever it is. Like, it'll come to you, like, oh. Or like something will happen, a door will open. You're like, oh, okay.
And then it all comes together.
I have to pound the door with my head, like, it just, somebody else just opened it up, or somehow it just opened up.
Yep. It's too magical to even explain. It's magic, man. It's hard to explain it, but it's what they're saying is true. But if you just say that to somebody that doesn't understand, you sound like some, let the answer come to you. Like, what? Say that to somebody that doesn't know how what that's supposed to feel like. You sound like some guru with the beads on, with the white linen cloth, with your legs crossed. Let the answers come to you. Really? Okay. I'm going to do that. I'm going to let the answers come to me, weirdo. Tell me some shit to do that's going to make me some money. Telling me to let the answers come. But once you get it, then you get it. You'll be like, oh, okay. Now I understand.
Yeah.
So there we go.
I mean, it just, like, you know, it says that you need to work and have perseverance, but then forcing the answers doesn't work. So it's like that part. Sometimes things just kind of like work themselves out. Either something opens up externally, or like in your mind, like the magic happens. You wake up in the morning, you have the answer.
I'm with it. Just keep practicing and stay on your path of perseverance, and have a goal in mind. That's what I said on my thing the other day. I was like, look, you don't have to have all your shit together. You could be just getting it, you know, like we are. Like, we're just getting it, and we're going to get ours. We've gotten ours before, but, like, we're going to get even more because we're understanding more of ourselves at this age, and it's like there's no shelf life to that. But the one thing that is bad is if you're saying you're going someplace but you don't know where you're going, and if you're going that place you don't know where you're going and you don't even have a map of the area, then you're going to drive for a week and a half, 2 weeks, and you will end up in a dead end. And you'll be like, shit, I got to turn around. You've wasted time. Have a goal in mind. Have some goal in mind. You don't have to know how you're going to get there exactly. But yeah, you have
but
to,
if the goal is just to, like, the journey, then that is also a goal. But you just have to know that, like, okay, we're just going to drive and, like, discover stuff.
That is not a secret to success. That is a secret to just living life on the seat of your pants and just letting whatever comes, comes. That's fine too, bing. There is another one though, where people actually have goals and want to be successful, which is what we're talking about this podcast. Success comes from you knowing that you want something. You don't have to be hyper specific about it, but you have to know that you want to be a writer. If you want to be a writer, write. If you want to be a singer, sing. If you want to be a dancer, dance. And if you want to be a painter, paint. And I can do that to corporate America and everything else. It's the same thing. That's the goal. You don't know in what capacity. You don't know. You don't know if you're going to be doing Fritos commercials as jingles or you're going to be freaking Whitney Houston. You don't know, but you know I want to sing. I want to sing.
I think that makes sense. I mean, if you want to do something, you do need to do it. Like, you're not going to become a writer without ever writing, or not going to be a painter or whatever, if you want to have certain skills in that without actually doing it. So
there's somebody writing copy for Tech Wired magazine that really want to be a science fiction novelist. So if you really want to be a science fiction novelist, start writing science fiction novels.
The wisdom.
It's so easy. It's the simplest way. And people are going out there with no map, no direction, just saying, oh, it hit me like a ton of bricks one day. You're going to wake up and be like, damn.
It says that there has to be some work involved and perseverance to get to where you want to go. But just says you don't have to have all the answers.
No.
The answers, like, sometimes you just need to let your brain rest a moment and things will come to you versus forcing it.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and that's the last thing. So I think that's our show for today. So all right.
This is Art. I know.
And this is Connie. And this is the Get a Tape Podcast.
We're working on our outros and intros.
Don't be a sweet sheep.
Try eating a little sunshine for breakfast. Oh, by the end of the year, our intros and outros are going to be stellar. We know where we're going. We know what we're trying to do. So watch. Okay. Don't believe us. Just watch.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.